Welcome to Somebody's Mama Podcast,
the podcast where real talk meets the chaotic beauty of modern motherhood.
I'm Kendra.
And I'm Nicole.
And together, we're diving deep into the unfiltered truths of navigating life as millennial moms.
Join our community as we share the laughters, tears, and triumphs, discussing everything from diaper dilemmas to relationship realities.
So get ready for a raw and relatable journey through the roller coaster of life and motherhood.
This isn't your typical podcast.
It's an invitation to connect with us, share, and celebrate the messy, marvelous adventure of raising the next generation. Hey guys, we are back for another episode. Happy 2024.
Yes, it's 2024. We are so excited to be back.
We took a little break because of the holidays. You guys, you know, between the two of us, we have five children. It's not called Somebody's Mama Pod for nothing.
Exactly.
So if you are new here, welcome. We are two millennial moms just out here trying to make it, like you guys heard in our new intro.
Yes, like our new intro. We took so much time recording that and put so much love into it. So I hope you guys enjoyed it.
Yes.
And it's nice for us too, because now we have an intro for the pod and it's just giving
New energy,
new year, profesh.
Yes, we're giving profesh. You guys, check out our mics, you guys. Hello, yes. Can you hear us a little better?
Okay, testing, 1, 2, 3.
Yes, and we're super excited because, you guys, this is our 100th episode.
Come on now. We did that. Now, a lot of people literally make it 2, 3, 4, 5 episodes.
Yeah.
Not us.
No. 100 episodes in, that is a lot of hard work.
Yes.
A lot of dedication.
Showing up.
Yeah. Us showing up with all that we have to do on a weekly basis has been a journey. And that's part of the reason why we took a little break, because we felt like we deserved it. One.
Yes. Okay. We deserved it.
We put the work in. And two, because during the holidays, we wanted to give time and attention to our children and, you know, just really make it special for the holidays. And also just to give ourselves a mental break to refresh, regroup. And now we're back.
And it feels good to be back. It feels like we're re-energized. We're ready to go.
Refreshed.
Because obviously our commitment has always been there, but we want to bring the energy.
Yes.
Okay. We're trying to bring it for 2024.
Yeah. We're really, really excited about 2024. We have a lot of fun things in store. So we're going to jump right in.
Yes. Because we have a lot to talk about first and foremost.
We do.
Kendra, how is your new year going so far?
So far, I would say personally, it's going pretty well. Just like, you know, there's some things going on just as far as like, you know, life is evolving and things are changing. People are getting older.
Yeah.
And so in that area, it's not the best. I'm going to be transparent.
Right.
But as far as personally with my personal goals and things like that, I am really excited. I've been doing really, really well.
Yes, the YouTube. Oh my goodness.
God. YouTube. Woo. I am almost there, you guys. I'm almost there to 1,000 subscribers. If you know anything about YouTube, or if you ever tried to do YouTube, it is very difficult to get to those first 1,000 subscribers. It's so hard. To me, YouTube is harder than any other platform to grow on, especially now, because most people watch YouTube on their TV. And so people have told me like, oh, girl, I watch you all the time. And I just realized I'm not subscribed.
Like, girl, I need you to come on now.
You know, so people have been watching me for months and they realize that they weren't subscribed. But that's just because, you know, when you watch on TV, sometimes you forget. I know there's people that I watch on YouTube that I forget that I'm not subscribed either. So it's been a journey, but I'm finally starting to see like real strides with like my viewers and just even people interacting with my content.
That's the best. The comments section is the best. That's my favorite part of YouTube.
Me too. It feels more personal, more like a community.
Nice.
And like I vibe with people on there, other creators. I've met other creators. Oh. So this year I'm just super excited about YouTube. So far, I would say my year is going pretty good. I have some new things in store. I don't want to jump the gun, but it's going good so far.
Okay, because by the time you guys see this, speaking of goals, speaking of what we're doing for 2024.
Wait,
we can't tell that yet. Okay, sorry.
Whoa. How is your year going so far? Okay.
Okay. You know, my year so far really for me was about getting some rest. Because at the end of 2023,
she was working, y'all.
I was on overdrive. Like, I usually really, really enjoy the holidays. Mm-hmm. And even with us taking a break, I was still overdoing it. Like, I didn't get to enjoy the holidays like I normally do.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was kind of sad about it. Like, even my tree, like, I'm already ready to take it down. You guys know me. I usually keep my tree up till February 1st. After Christmas, I was just ready to like throw it out the trash. Like, I was just like done with the holidays. So yeah. I'm kind of sad that my holidays didn't go as well, even though we're talking about 2024. Anyway, yeah. So
y'all haven't seen it, so it's okay.
It's okay. So, but for 2024, I really just started the year off like getting my rest back, like mm-hmm. getting rejuvenated, like feeling my full self yeah. back. Because at the end of 2023, I was so just like deteriorated from just working so hard.
Yeah.
But so for 2024, I'm easing into it slow, making sure that I'm filling my cup up mm-hmm. first.
That's important.
Getting my rest.
Mm-hmm.
Going to bed early.
Yeah.
I'm not doing late nights of working anymore for 2024.
Well, you better go ahead then.
Okay. I'm known for like posting like finish working at 1 a.m. Finish yeah. working at 2 a.m. Not 2020, girl.
No, get your rest.
I'll see you in the morning, girl.
Okay, because work will still be there.
That's the problem. It will still be there.
Right. I know. But, I'm trying to get ahead.
Yeah, so for 2024, I'm starting it off slow, getting my rest, and really allowing myself to take a moment and figure out what my goals are and what, you know, what do I want to do?
Right.
And not what I'm forced to do. Like, right, what do right. I want to do?
Right.
So I'm easing into it. So speaking of goals, Kendra, how are you feeling in the goal area for 2024? Do we have goals? Do we have...
You know, we always have goals, honey. Okay, so last year, and I'll say, a lot of my goals are carrying over, and that's fine.
Yes, that's fine.
That's fine, because sometimes, you know, you have a preparation year, and I feel like 2023 really was a preparation year for me, for my mindset.
Nice.
Like, just really getting myself in the proper mindset to execute the goals that I had set up for myself. So one of the goals from last year was like in regards to my health was just to move my body more. Like I had a goal that I wanted to start working out, and I did that.
You did.
I started working out in February, and I continued throughout the whole year. Now I wasn't in there like pumping iron.
You was just moving.
The goal was to move my body multiple times a week, and I achieved that goal. So this year, in regards to my weight loss health journey, I decided to amp it up a little bit. So this year, I have a goal of eating better.
Nice.
And what I decided to do, y'all, I know this was ambitious, but what I decided to do was not wait until the new year to start working on my healthier eating habits.
Love
I
it.
Actually started in the middle of the holidays.
Ooh.
So I think it was literally the week before Christmas. I said, you know what? I'm going to start a caloric deficit
now.
Along with working out, I'm going to go into this caloric deficit. I'm going to check my BMI. I'm going to get my macros together.
Ooh.
Chad, I ordered me a little scale for my food. I'm not playing.
Got a scale?
A scale, honey. Scale. I'm not playing. Okay. I ordered a scale.
She's a fitness girly.
Okay.
Stop.
Say it is what it is. Okay. I'm trying to get these go. I'm trying to get these love handles off. The baby weight got to go. I can't call it baby weight no more. Ooh. My kids is 4 and 7. Okay. So I got a fitness tracker on my phone.
Nice.
I got my little scale. And it's so crazy because, like, I don't eat a lot. People around me are like, I don't understand. Like, you really don't eat that. I don't eat much more than the people. They eat more than me, actually.
Right.
And all my friends, not all of them, but some of them got these high metabolism. The child, they be throwing down. I just be like, it's not fair. But anyways, they're like, you don't even eat a lot. But it's amazing to see how much you're really eating once you actually start measuring. So we're going to go into that into detail in other episodes. But one of my goals for this year is to just really get a hold of my eating and making sure that I am tracking what I'm eating so I know how much I'm really taking in.
That's important.
It is. And then, like, doing this during the holidays was really good to help with my willpower. So to be able to say, I'm not going to eat any pie. I didn't eat no cakes, no pies. And you know, the peach cobbler was there, all these things, you know, didn't eat it.
Ooh, that's strange.
Went to birthday parties, didn't have no cake.
Ooh, you had no cake.
This is how I really challenged myself.
You had no cake.
I had no cake. This is how I really challenged myself. So we had a New Year's Eve party. My friend had a New Year's Eve party.
Oh, my
and
goodness.
I was supposed to bring dessert, right? So I went to Sam's and I was like, ooh, these cinnamon rolls look delicious. I'm going to get the cinnamon rolls for everybody else.
Ooh.
They're the cinnamon rolls that you warm up. They're big, fluffy. They have these cream cheese frosting. They look and smell delicious. Yeah. I didn't take a lick. Not even a bite. I smelled them in the oven.
And walked away.
Because I was like, I can't play with it. I can't play
with
it.
She said, I'm not playing with it. You know what? I feel like that's been an energy that everybody's kind of walking into 2024. And nobody is playing this year.
I'm not playing. Because here's the thing. If you want to see results, it's up to you. Like, that's what I'm learning. Like, if I really want to make a change, like, it's up to me. And it's really about my mind for myself. Like, I've been rewarding myself with whatever I wanted.
I see.
And it's like, girl, it's not a reward because you can't wear the outfit that you want to wear. So let's really
switch it up.
So that's what went one of my other goals. And like Nicole was saying earlier, I have a new product coming out, you guys. I am so excited because it's along the same lines of like not waiting and just doing it full throttle.
Yeah.
I had a desire, a inkling, a vision. Something came over me to do it. And I had a desire to come up with a vision board journal.
Ooh.
So every year, you know, people do vision boards and you may do them digitally or you may do them, you know, physically, you put them up on your wall.
Right.
And I noticed like with myself, when I do a vision board, like I'm all about it. I put it up, make it all cute, put it up on the wall. If it falls down, it falls down. I never look at it again. So I'm like, what's something I could do that's tangible that I can really go back to and really help myself achieve these goals? And I had the vision to do it. I was on vacation. I started like jotting down ideas. When we got back home from vacation, it was Christmas. That next day, that Tuesday, I went to the gym. After the gym, I went to Starbucks.
Ooh.
And I sat in Starbucks for hours and literally wrote out this whole journal.
A vision.
Yes. And it's like a workbook. And it's really like a book because I really wrote in there my thoughts and feelings on goal setting, how, you know, I would go about mapping out. It's really a guide to help you not only set your goals, but help yourself write a guide to actually achieving and executing those goals. It's a lot of good stuff in there, you guys.
Yes, I got to a little preview of it. And even I was like, oh, I didn't even think about that. Like, oh, what I liked about your guide is it really keeps you accountable and it gives you the space to write the notes and to collectively write your thoughts. You know, it even had like a, oh, I don't know if I can give that away, but
it's fine.
Oh, you guys can see it by now. Oh my goodness, it's out.
It's out by now.
Girl, you better go get you one. If you ain't seen it already, you need to go get it because there's a little, even like a debt area.
Uh-huh.
Like
how debt tracker.
Yeah, a debt tracker. It even has an area where it explains like what your credit score is. Mm-hmm. It even has
understanding your credit score, checkpoints so that when you write goals, because I notice like a lot of times like you may set a goal. And you may have like little small like plans to get there, but go back and have a checkpoint, a quarterly checkpoint to say, where am I at with this goal?
Yeah.
What have I achieved? And if it's nothing, that's okay. It's a reminder that this is a goal that you set for yourself. And it really just narrows things down, helps you to create an action plan. You can also visualize it. You can put pictures and things in there. It's a digital planner. So you can kind of like organize it however you want. But it's all your own thoughts and feelings. But I just put prompts in there because sometimes we need a little extra help.
Some direction.
Yeah.
Give it some direction. And I like that it had, even there was a section where it's like about your prayers.
Yeah.
Like prayers asked, prayers answered. Like it was just a feel good way to help you along your journey within the year. Yeah. I really liked it. I'm going to give me one, girl. You know, I'm going to get mine.
That's one thing that I'm really, really excited about. Like I said, I had the vision to do it, and I just literally sat down and executed. And I was so proud of myself because I'm like, that's what I'm trying to be on. Like, right. I'm not trying to sit on stuff anymore, because originally I wanted it to be a tangible journal, and it will be.
Yeah.
But, you know, you have to find the publishing companies. You have to do all these things. And I literally came up with this idea a month ago.
Right.
Less than a month ago.
And it's here.
And so.
And it's built.
Right, honey.
And it's cute.
Okay. So in order to do that, I was like, okay, I'm gonna make it a digital product. There's a whole world of people who love digital products. So that was one of my goals, was just to put that out and get it out there to you guys. So it should be out by now. If everything goes well, it should be out right now, available to you guys. So you can go to the KM Lifestyle on Etsy to purchase it. You can come to my Instagram page, Kendra Michelle. I'll have information there. So I'm really excited about it. That's one of my top goals that I have for this year, is just to push that and maybe come up with some more products.
Yes, we know we're going to see some more. So make sure you guys get your digital planner. No, sorry, not me calling it a digital planner. Oh my goodness.
It's a digital vision journal.
Vision journal. Yeah, vision make sure journal. To pick it up, okay?
Yes, honey. So what are some of your goals?
Oh my goodness. I think for me, for 2024, it's really about slowing down and getting focused into what I already have going. Mm-hmm. And just focusing in on what I'm already doing.
Yeah.
We're not adding to the plate.
Okay, because she got a lot on her plate.
It's not an ad. And towards the end of 2023, I started to realize that too. Like, mm-hmm. and people were trying to add, and I said, no.
Oh, that's good.
I had to start saying no. And it's because I already like what I have going on.
Yeah.
And so I just want to refocus my energy onto that. Mm-hmm. And also just allowing myself to go through the ebbs and flows of business mm-hmm. and just allowing it to just grow and flow, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah.
My fun thing that I'm doing this year is being more consistent on YouTube.
Okay.
So Kendra's rubbed off on me with the consistency of YouTube. And this year, I'm going to really try to be more consistent with YouTube, but I'm going to have fun with it. So like my editing style, my cuts, it's going to be a little different. It's going to be it's giving laid back David Dobrik. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. Sorry.
I got excited. Okay. It's giving laid back, short, cute, clippy David Dobrik style mm-hmm. where it's just like my open thoughts that I'm just saying to you, to the camera and editing it in a fun way, but still kind of showing the week in my life.
I like that.
But in a very short, cute, because truth be told, I can't show too much mm-hmm. because it always gets tricky with the kids, right?
It gets tricky
with where you live.
Right.
You have to be
so careful with creating content around where you live and with your children. And like, even if I go to a grocery store that's in my neighborhood, I'd be like, I don't know if I want to show.
I don't know if I want to show this. So I'm just kind of allowing it to be a year where I just have continuing to have fun making content, but doing it in a consistent manner.
I love it.
That's my fun thing. You gotta always have one fun thing.
Yes, one fun thing.
So we'll see.
Yes. So speaking of it being the new year, you guys, we wanted this episode to be fun. This is our 100th episode. You know, we have a lot of opinions. If you guys listen to us, you know, we have a lot of opinions about different things, especially.
I'm a podcaster. So of course I have an opinion.
Sorry, y'all. I'm sorry. I got to get used to the mic.
Oh, yeah. We got used to the mic. But yeah, we're podcasters. Of course we have opinions.
Of course we have opinions. Yeah. Of course we have something to say about the people in the media.
Of course.
And, you know, we love pop culture. We love to kind of see what's going on in the world with the girls and the guys. So we're just going to speak on some things that we have predictions about this year.
Yes, we got predictions. And speaking of predictions, Cat Williams.
He set the tone
for the year.
Yeah, he did.
It's on site. Strays are allowed. And anybody can get it.
No hold it back. Hide your kids, hide your wives, because he was coming guns blazing. It was like if somebody popped up in his head. Oh yeah, and another thing, like,
yeah,
he wasn't scared.
No,
he was standing on business, as the kids say.
Yes,
and
very much so.
And truth be told, people was trying to come out and like disprove what he was saying, but only validating,
yeah,
the things that he was saying. So it's really interesting, but that's our prediction.
I think the prediction of it all is that he has set the tone for the year.
Yes.
And for the year, it's very much Cat Williams energy. Mm-hmm. And I only see it continuing throughout the year.
Yeah, I feel like, and we've already seen it in a couple of areas, people aren't afraid to say what's on their mind.
Yeah.
And it's no holding back anymore. And it's like, it is what it is. You know, people are going to be exposed. Things are going to be exposed. People are going to be living in their truth and unapologetically.
Yeah.
Because you know what?
People
are tired. Our generation has a loud voice in social media, and we're mm-hmm. getting older. And they say as you get older, the filters come off.
Right.
People are becoming unhinged.
Mm-hmm.
And the truth is coming out. Now, I am a truth seeker. Ooh. I enjoy the truth. So it doesn't bother me.
It's not gonna bother me because my truth is already out.
Listen, there. I love when the truth comes to light. So it's fun, it makes things interesting, and it's really holding people accountable. Mm-hmm. Like what's done in the dark is definitely coming to the light this year.
Okay. Now speaking of things coming to the light, let's talk about how Young Thug,
honey,
what's going to happen?
I don't know, because I feel like, okay, if you guys have, you know, not been under a rock, and yeah. the most recent court date, I guess, they're playing lifestyle.
Yeah,
as in proof. In the courtroom as evidence.
As evidence, right, right.
Played the whole song. And, you know, we are so unserious on the internet. Everybody's right. making jokes about what they would have done in the courtroom if they were in there. And that was one of my favorite songs. It's literally yeah. on the soundtrack for my wedding playlist.
Oh, my goodness.
So, yeah, like, I love that song. So, if it would have came on and I was in the courtroom, you already know.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Okay. Okay.
Watching them sit there as lifestyle played was hilarious, though, because
nobody wants to look up. Everybody was like this.
And even Young Thug was like,
yeah, nobody wants to show any movements. And then everybody's like writing. I'm like, what are y'all writing?
Y'all not writing about nothing. Y'all trying to not bob your head. And in the video, there was a guy in the back. He looked like he was like,
yeah, he was like,
I was thinking, oh, and all I could think is Young Thug in his head was saying like, oh yeah, this is a hit. Oh,
right.
This is a hit.
Like, why are they messing with me? So here's the thing. It seems as though they're fishing for yeah. evidence at this point. They're trying to make something stick.
Right.
Now, I'm not going to lie and act like I follow the case.
I don't.
Like, you know, I don't really know what's going on with the case, but I do know. With them playing that entire song like that, it's like, what is going on? Like, it's, and I think that's the basis of the whole case, is they're trying to make him accountable for his lyrics. So saying that all of his lyrics, there's truth in all of his lyrics, and that he actually executed these things outside of the song.
Right.
Now, if this thing goes over and he actually gets convicted, it's going to be a ripple effect.
Right.
They're going to go back and try to get every rapper, every singer, whatever, right. for whatever lyrics they put in their song, mm-hmm. which kind of it does take away from the art, because we know we've seen rappers who fake their whole lifestyle on a song.
Okay.
So, I mean, it will change the game for music, because now people are going to be careful about what lyrics they put in their songs.
Yeah.
Which could be beneficial for the youth of the next generation. However, a lot of these things are not truth.
Yeah.
So it makes it difficult. I don't know if this is going to stick. It seems like they're fishing.
So what's your prediction? Is he going to jail?
Oh, I hate to say it, but I feel like he is going to go to jail, because I think that they are really trying to make an example out of him.
Yeah, they're trying to make, that's the problem. They're trying to make an example, but now to the public, it's coming off very much fishing.
And it's a joke. It's a joke to the media. Everybody's yeah, like,
and nobody's taking it serious.
Yeah, please. So like, I don't that know. Man, I hate to say it, but I think he will go to jail, because I think they really want this to be a thing.
Yeah. But I think if he does go to jail, it's not going to be long.
No, I don't think it'll be long because he's already been there for a minute.
Yeah, he's already been there for a minute. So I feel like it's going to be short, cute, sweet, and out. And he'll be back to making music.
Right. So, okay. So the next on our list is, you guys know, it's an election year.
Yeah.
It's a dreaded election year. And Trump trying to keep himself on the ballot, child. Like, what do you think? Do you think,
why do you want to, he want to be on the ballot? Bad.
So bad.
Like, why you want to be on the ballot so bad?
Because he's thirsty and he thinks that
getting on the ballot, then he won't get convicted of his crimes.
Yeah.
Allegedly. So
do you think he's going to make his way on there?
I think he's gonna be on the ballot. Okay, this is my thing. Mm-hmm. This is my prediction for the election year. Okay. He's gonna make it onto the ballot. Mm-hmm. Every person that was part of his team in the administration, mm-hmm. they are going to create so much campaign of what it was like to work for him, how unhinged he was.
Yeah.
And it's just gonna deter more and more people from him. I think Biden is going to win. Mm-hmm. And I think Biden, I mean, I don't wish this on anybody, but I think during his next term, if he were to make it, I don't think he's going to make the full four.
I get what you're saying.
Do you see what I'm saying? And I think we're going to have a black madam president. That's what I think.
I think that's a really good prediction because, you know, the way things are looking. Old Joe. I don't know. I hate to say it, but I don't know.
I hate to say it, but... And you know what? I was watching The View the other day and it was like, we need more young people getting into politics.
Where are the other candidates?
They all TikTok, girl. They influencers. They not trying to become political figures.
And that's the problem, is because we're so unserious. Our generation is supposed to be the next ones up.
Yeah.
Like, we need somebody in there that's around the 40 to 50 age.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and we need some fresh... Something fresh.
Both sides need something fresh.
Right. No, seriously.
If there was somebody in politics right now, it'd be like, this is your time to
rise up
because there is availability.
Yes.
For you.
Yes.
But I also think I think they might convict Trump on something.
He got to. I mean, it's too many charges.
It's so many charges. And then he was like, he wants immunity. Because he was, it's a bad look.
And there's going to be more coming out, I believe. Because this is an election year, whatever people have been holding in the arsenal is going to come out.
Yeah, that's the other thing, too. So whatever they've been holding back that they felt about him or he did something, this come summer,
it's going to be exposed.
It's going to get exposed. It's going to be hot. Yeah. It's going to be a crazy election year.
Lord help us all.
I'm glad I don't, never mind. Anyway, I don't...
Moving on. Okay, in the area of social media. So, you guys, you know, TikTok is the biggest. I feel like TikTok is the biggest social media platform right now that's making waves. It's making people rich.
Yeah.
People are going viral each and every day. Regular people.
Regular.
And I think that's what I enjoy about TikTok the most, is that anybody can make it on that platform doing literally anything. Yeah. And so I really like that, you know, you have the opportunity. The opportunity is open. It's open on TikTok for whatever you want to do, for whoever you are, wherever you come from, you can make it on that platform. But they're making some changes that have me questioning where is it really going?
Oh.
So in recent posts, there has been, I guess there was some type of meeting or training or something that a lot of the bigger TikTokers had some type of meeting. And they're all coming back and they're saying, hey.
Oh, I didn't know about this.
Yeah. They've been making videos recently and they've been coming back and saying, hey, I just got off of Zoom with TikTok. And they're saying that the new way of they're trying to push long form content. Mm. So they're going to be pushing 30 minute videos. They're going to be pushing horizontal videos because they want to get on streaming platforms like YouTube is. So they want to be YouTube's competitor, basically. Ooh. And
they want to be bought by Google.
Yeah. And so, but a lot of the like consumers are like, child, I ain't watching no 30-minute video on TikTok. Like, so I don't know.
I'm not on there, so I'm taking it from you.
Okay, so I am on TikTok.
I mean, I'm on there, but you know, I'm not as engaging. I'm not engaging.
Okay, I like engaging on TikTok. I actually prefer TikTok over Instagram. I feel like Instagram is like gotten really snooty, and like
it is very snooty.
It's just the energy over there just feels very.
Yeah, it feels very. I'm perfect. My life is perfect.
I would never like your video.
I would never
comment.
No, I'll watch your stories, but I'm not gonna like.
I'm gonna watch every single story. Every single one.
But never like.
Never like a post.
Never ever. Comment on a reel.
Right.
How embarrassing. Embarrassed.
And people follow and unfollow. Like it's weird. It's weird. I haven't posted on Instagram forever. It's weird.
Yeah, it's weird.
TikTok, I feel like it still has fresh energy. It's very entertaining. It's very lighthearted. It's more of a community vibe. Mm-hmm. People will literally, strangers will comment and have conversations with you under your post like you're their homie.
Nice.
And so I really enjoy TikTok. But it seems as though they are trying to push long-form content and be more in competition with YouTube. Now, we know all the platforms... Mm-hmm. You know, they all steal from each other. Like, right. You know, first it was, who had it first? Reels? No, Reels got, Instagram got Reels from TikTok. And then YouTube got YouTube Shorts.
Yeah.
So they all kind of like started that, you know, short video, you know,
and
whatever.
Vertical and whatnot.
Right. And now it's all coming back around full circle because, you know, I feel like you can make more money with long form content. You can put in longer ads and things like that. So people are right now, I think TikTok needed to make a change though, because once they started the TikTok shop, mm-hmm. people started getting irritated because you start going down your timeline and it's all people selling stuff.
Yeah, that's the thing I've noticed. And my girlies that sell stuff, they've been like, my TikTok shop is selling. Crazy. It's crazy. It's selling. It's doing great.
Yeah.
And, but even when I've gone on there a few times, because I like to post maybe once a week. And when I go on there, I'll be like, wait, this is a shop. I'm like, every other video is a shop. I'm like,
literally, it's a link under every video.
It's like everything a shop. I'm trying to see the funny.
Right. Yeah. I want to go on and be entertained. I love the story times. I love like, you know, just seeing things or people living their lives.
Yeah.
Cute things, pretty things. Teach me how to do something. Like, love it. But okay. So now that they're basically trying to compete with YouTube, how do you think that's gonna go?
I'm a YouTube girly. Same. I watch YouTube content. I don't really be on Instagram and TikTok. Girl, you're not gonna make it.
I don't see people sitting there watching a 30 minute TikTok
video. Unless it's the content creator, unless a good content creator comes around and creates some type of content that really makes you sit there and watch it for 30 minutes. Like if, what's his name? Oh my goodness. Beast, whatever.
Mr. Beast
come out with a 30 minute. People are probably going to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, but then he has to now create another piece of content. Like he's already doing so much content. Now he's got to add another idea to make that piece of content different than his YouTube. Like I think it has to be a certain creator or even a new creator that brings something to the table.
I think if it was in a form of vlogs, I think it would work. Mm-hmm. But sitting there watching somebody, or if the podcast took over.
Right.
If the podcast took over and started posting their full podcast on TikTok, I think that could work. Right. But like somebody sitting down doing a 30-minute story all in one, I don't know. It might do well because if people do story times and they put it in 7 parts, people still watch it.
That's true, because I will go look for the third, fourth, fifth part
so
of the story.
So it has to be really good, really engaging. But I think in order for like someone like myself to sit there and watch it on TikTok, for one, you got to move all the icons out the way.
Yeah.
I'm not going to watch a 30-minute video with all those icons sitting on the side.
Yeah.
Horizontally. Mm-hmm. Two, it got to be on a TV. It got to be on a TV. Or iPad or something, because I feel like, you know, when you have your phone in your hand, you're tempted to scroll. Mm. Also, when you're watching something that's long, I don't know. Maybe it's because I got a little ADHD. I don't know, but I feel like most of our generation does.
Right.
You got to be doing something else.
Yeah, you have to be doing something. I want to be on my phone.
Yeah, you want to be on your phone while you're watching that video. Yeah. So I feel like it has to be available like on a big screen, like a streaming platform. Yeah. But I think that's what they're trying to do anyway.
Yeah, and I feel like I listen to a lot of like my long form content that I don't watch my long form content. I listen to it. So like if I'm working and it's on another device, yeah, I think you're right. It has to be on a different device.
Yeah.
Yeah. It can't be what I'm
our attention span is too short. They've already conditioned us to scroll, 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 scroll.
Right.
So now you want me to look at the same platform that I'm used to scrolling on and not scroll. That's gonna be hard to desensitize yourself to not do that.
Yeah.
So I think with that, they're going to have to come up with a different way where we can either swipe the icons off the side, make it look different, something. And I'm sure they'll come up with it.
Something.
Yeah.
They got to come up with
but
something.
Speaking of YouTube, have you noticed that YouTube is kind of making a comeback? Like, I don't feel like it ever went anywhere, but I feel like people used it more as like a Google search tool.
Right.
And people weren't sitting there watching YouTube videos as much as they were before because of the quick, TikTok videos and reels, like attention span being shorter. People weren't watching vlogs like they used to. But now
we back.
We are seeing a lot of the OG content creators coming back to YouTube.
Yep.
Celebrities, a lot of celebrities are doing Day in My Life videos.
Yeah,
like people's like whole families are on YouTube now.
Yeah,
they're creating their own series. I just saw Brandy's daughter Sarai.
Oh yeah,
she has a whole show over there on YouTube, and we're starting to see a lot of entertainers have their own YouTube channels, which I think is smart.
Which I love. Like getting the behind the scenes and seeing more celebrities and their real lives. It's edited, of course, but it's very more like relatable, more natural.
Yeah.
I love it because I love being on YouTube. I like watching content on YouTube, going through shorts on YouTube. Yeah. Like that's my vibe. So I have noticed lately before when I would say, oh yeah, I just, watch on YouTube, a lot of people would be like, oh, it's not really my jam. But lately I've been seeing that increase. More people have been feeling that jam. But speaking of content, I really feel like when it comes to making content, nobody wants to see luxury anymore.
That's what they're saying.
Nobody wants you to show your Chanel, your Louis Vuitton.
Yep.
We want to see
authenticity.
We want to see you be normal, relatable. We want to see you be, Target, Ross, TJ Maxx. Like, we don't want the luxury in our faces. And I just feel like a lot of people are trying to be more conscious of what they're spending.
Yeah.
And they don't want the luxury in their face.
Right. I do think that there's still a space for it because there's always the girls who are real luxury girlies is never going to go away.
Right.
We always want to see what's the new latest and the greatest. How are you styling it? How are you wearing it?
How are you affording it?
Right. I think there's always going to be a space for it, but I think where it was booming like 2 years ago,
like
where
the trend is over,
where you could go viral just for posting a new pair of shades, is not happening anymore because for one, there's a dupe for everything.
Oh yeah.
For two, average person is not able to afford those luxury items for a couple of reasons.
Right.
One, these brands keep going up on the prices.
Yeah.
And two, the cost of living is just out of control.
Out of control.
It is literally out of control. And so I think to keep up with that luxury lifestyle of content creation is costing you more.
Yeah.
So now people are like pivoting. Like, do I really need to do this? Like, let me mix high and lows. Like, let me be more conscious. Let me provide some substance in my content. Because I've seen creators who were strictly luxury, that's all they talked about on their channel. Now they're having sit down videos and sharing their feelings. They're sharing their goals. They're actually like being more personable. And so I feel like that is the wave of content overall, is people want to know who you are, if you are successful, they want to know how you got there, because right. that's where we're trying to get. Like,
yeah,
you know, a lot of people are tired of living the same life that they've been living. So they are literally searching and scouring the internet to figure out, how can I do better? How can I elevate my life? What does it look like to elevate your life?
Yeah.
And for someone who's only showing luxury, that's not attainable right now. I don't want to see that. I want to see someone who is rebuilding. So that's why I feel like a lot of people go viral on TikTok when they say, I'm ready to upgrade my life. Mm. I'm ready to change my life. Watch me leave my 9-to-5 in 5 months.
Right.
So that's very relatable, that's because very, like, I want to leave my 9-to-5 in 5
right,
months.
Right,
so
right.
So I feel like that's the reason why that type of content is being pushed more.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are trying to survive. People are trying to live. People are tired of living the same way that they've been living. Like, we're not a generation who is okay with complacency
at all.
Generations before us, they were cool with getting their pension, living a comfortable life, buying their home, and retiring in that same home. We want multiple homes.
Yeah, we're talking about trying to buy buildings.
Yeah,
about commercial property.
We want generational wealth.
Listen.
And so I feel like with the times changing, our focus has shifted, and these things are just different, and which I can appreciate. Like, of course, I will always like the finer things in life.
Yes.
I will always
gonna be a Chanel girl.
Okay. I will always enjoy my luxury. And I'm going to post it because that's a part of my life, but it's not going to be like the main focus of my day-to-day life, because it ain't like that. But it is interesting to see. One thing I will say I did not like. There was a guy who made a video and he was saying, I'm sorry to say it, but black girl luxury is out.
What?
Here's the thing. Don't generalize, because the girls are elevating. So if anybody,
he got on
Beyonce's internet and said he believes that the black girl luxury is dying.
Girl.
On Beyonce's internet.
Obama gonna get him.
Okay.
Obama gonna get him on this internet.
But I mean, you know, it's controversial. I'm sure it got him a lot of views, a lot of
clicks. It's all for the views. It's all for the clicks. And he understood how to say something, just like the JCPenney guy. They're just like, he's so funny.
That was funny.
He is so funny.
Yeah.
And it's just all for clicks. It's all for show. He's like, what can I get the girls razzled and dazzled about?
Right.
And so,
because it's not just black girl luxury that is fading. It's luxury in general.
Right.
Everybody is shifting their content. Everybody is having their ear to the streets to see, what do people want?
Yeah.
Your bread and butter comes from the consumer. If people don't watch you, if they're not liking what they're seeing, if they're not engaging, then there is a shift.
Right.
So when there's a shift in culture, there's going to be a shift in content.
And traditionally, the black culture is what
drives the shifts.
Yeah, drives the shifts and drives the consumers.
Yeah. And because the girls who do black luxury are actually, they're elevating to the point to where that's not all they have to talk about.
Right.
They're starting their own brands. They're working with big major brands. So they don't
manufacturers.
Really, they might not have the time to sit in their closet and talk about what's in their closet, because we already know what's in there now.
We already know.
So now they're showing us different aspects of their lives.
Yeah.
So if black girl luxury is fading, where you're sitting in your closet with all your Chanel and Louis Vuitton behind you, and you're just sitting there talking about your latest bag collection, I believe that part is definitely fading. But learning how to elevate your style, learning how to revamp yourself, learning how to live a life that is luxurious and enjoying your life and self-care, I don't think that's going anywhere.
No. Because we still got to do self-care.
About this subject to my friend the other day, and we were just talking about how luxury is subjective.
Right.
Like, you know, the things that are important to you that make you feel luxurious or make you feel great or feel special or different may look different to me, to you.
That's very true. That's very true.
It's different levels of what luxury is. And I feel like, you know, that is what the shift is going to be. It's not going to be just the across the board standard of, you know, this is my bag collection.
This is the latest and greatest.
Yeah.
Girl, if you'll take that back to Fashion File. I'm joking.
That's a whole nother tea, okay? That is a whole nother tea.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so moving right along.
moving right along.
Someone else has been recently in the media. Our brother Kevin Hart.
Kevin Hart. Now, we ended 2023 with the exposing of the Diddy situation, right?
Right.
We started 2024 with the exposing of Kevin Hart. If you haven't heard, Kevin Hart's assistant went on Tasha K and spilled all the tea. Now,
all the tea.
I am not, I don't pay for Tasha K's subscription, so right. I didn't get to see all the details. But, you know, the YouTube girly got online and told us what's basically in that interview. And basically, Kevin's assistant of, like, a good 4 years, I believe.
Oh, wow.
She got on there saying how Kevin was cheating on his wife and just a whole lot of cheating.
Yeah.
But it brings up the topic, like, the way Cat Williams set it off, the way we came into 24 from the Diddy situation, is this just the year of exposing?
I think so. I hate to say it, but I feel like this is just the beginning.
It's the, yeah. And the thing is, a lot of people got quiet. I felt like when Diddy was exposed, everybody got real quiet when Kevin Hart was exposed.
Because it's all connected.
Because so,
it's a conspiracy.
It's a prediction. So my thing is, okay, as we go into 2024, is exposing, like, do we think we can't say who we think is gonna next, but is this just gonna continue of the exposing?
I think so. Going back to what Cat, you know, the whole Cat Williams thing, I feel like people are tired.
Yeah.
And especially if they see movement, like the way Cassie's situation got wrapped up like that.
It got quick.
I feel like, what do you call it? What did have the people sign?
Oh, the NDAs.
The NDAs might be expiring. Something. I don't know. People don't care no more. But
people don't care. People don't even care that they signed the NDAs anymore.
Yeah.
They don't care.
They're tired. And, you know, it's like, I feel like the energy is, I'm tired of living the way that I'm living.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's anything that's on my back, that's holding me back, I'm exposing it. I'm getting rid of it. I am not afraid anymore.
Yeah.
And I feel like we're going to see a lot more of it. Over the last few years, we have seen people get exposed. But this year, it might be more people coming out with different things. And I think the Diddy thing is just going to keep growing.
So, I feel like the Diddy thing is going to keep growing. I have a question. Is there somebody that you hope would not get exposed? Like, if you found out, I'll say mine. I'll give you a second to think. Okay. I would never want Jay-Z to get fully exposed. Like, if there was something that happened allegedly or something or whatever, because they've had lots of little stuff, but nothing's ever really like broke the ice. I feel like not like broke the internet.
Yeah.
Because those things were happening earlier. But if he were to get exposed, I would be like,
sad.
I would be sad. I would be sad. Ooh, I keep hitting the mic.
I'm trying to think, is there anybody that I care about enough that I hold to life? I'm not one of those people that gets super attached to celebrities, but because, like, the person that I will be thinking about is someone that, like, I just listen to, like musical artists that I really enjoy their catalog. Oh,
like, what's his name? Megan Good's.
Like, my favorite, Eric Bellinger.
Yeah, Eric
Bellinger. He's my favorite. So if it came out that he is just trifling, he was just doing unforgivable things, that would hurt my heart because I really love his music. So I really enjoy his music, and I love the way he is with his wife. So if it just came out that he had a whole nother relationship and he was dogging her
family
out and like doing all this, I probably would still listen to his music, ain't gonna lie. If it was that, because he is a man at the end of the day.
Yeah.
But
now he's a man.
They's trifling, so I wouldn't put it beyond him, is what I'm trying to say.
It's a possibility.
He is in the industry. It is something that happens.
Yeah.
So I would be heartbroken by that because I do think they have a great relationship. I've actually met the both of them in person, and they're super sweet. The both of them are together. I love them together. So that would be heartbreaking, but I would probably still listen to his music. Mm-hmm. But if he came out like an R. Kelly or something, that would hurt me right here.
Yeah.
As far as anybody else that I kind of like put on a pedestal, it would be Obama. Like if anything nasty came out about him, that was just.
No, but I feel like Michelle would already. She would.
But even if it was something that she didn't even know about, you know what I'm saying? Like if he got exposed in a way that was just like a ditty.
Like a ditty?
I would be like.
Just a quick tear.
But I can't really think of anybody else that I kind of like put in a high regard. Other than one other person, but I'm not going to even say who that is.
Yeah, I know who that is.
Yeah. That would really hurt me. But I would literally cry real tears. Like I would be very, very hurt.
Oh my goodness. Let's go.
I'm going to think about that.
I know. Okay. Next up, we got to get into this whole Color Purple drama.
Yes.
Taraji, I thought at the beginning of the year, I was feeling such good vibes about the Color Purple. I'm like, oh my goodness, they're going to be on this Oscar run. And this is just about to be just a beautiful situation. Yeah. Girl, Taraji sat down and set it off.
Oh my gosh. I just hate that. First of all, before we get into it, I just hate that there's so much negative energy around this movie and the cast and like people pinning people against each other, people saying Taraji has it out for Oprah or Oprah has it out for her. Like, I just hate that there's...
I hate that it went to this.
Like, why is there so much negative press around this beautiful the thing that's supposed to be so beautiful? Yeah. I feel like even the numbers and things got overshadowed by the drama.
Yeah. But at the same time, what Taraji P said about
it's important.
I just don't like that. I don't like that it's overshadowing the movie, but at the same time, it's so important that I understand.
Yeah.
You know,
that part I completely understand.
Yeah.
The whole part about them pinning her against Oprah, I don't like that.
I don't like that at all.
But what she is saying about Black women being treated unfairly in Hollywood is what needs to be exposed.
Yeah, it needs to be exposed because I feel like even Monique, she would try to say, you know, what was going on. And I just hate that it's Oprah's involved. But but at some point, it was just like, somebody had to say something again. And I feel like people trust Taraji P. I don't feel like people trust Monique. No. So with Taraji saying that and the way she was so vulnerable with it.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, she's being honest. Like she's being her true authentic self.
And she didn't pinpoint one person. I think the problem with Monique's campaign was that she first attacked Netflix, or not attacked, but exposed Netflix.
Yeah.
And then she went for a specific person.
Yeah.
And so I think it made it hard for people to get on board with her because she went for very specific things. Taraji is speaking from her heart. And she is saying, we know the work she's put out over the years.
Right. Very experienced. And the fact
that she's sharing that she still has to keep working hard to support all the people that have been working with her.
Yeah.
She's not getting fair pay for the roles that she's played.
Right.
It's making an impact. And I think it's so, so important because it has been overshadowed.
Right.
Like people stopped, even though it's something that we all know, people just stopped talking about it and just accepted it.
You know what I think it is? People think that once you get to a certain level of power, that you're able to control Hollywood.
Yeah.
And I feel like Beyonce showed that in her Renaissance movie.
Yeah.
That look at me, even the people I hire don't want to listen to me.
Yeah.
Oprah is saying, I had to call Warner Brothers and Warner Brothers said this. And Taraji P sending, you know, I'm not having these accommodations. I'm not being paid fairly.
Yeah.
And I think people are coming to realize, like, as Black women, even if you are at the top, you will still be second guessed.
Yeah,
they will still try to underpay you.
Yeah.
And how do we, I think now after Taraji P. Henson, it's coming to the realization, okay, so
what do we do?
Because obviously when it comes to working with the big
production companies,
they're comfortable with they doing.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that Oprah had to ask them to send a car. Listen, they send cars for the girls on Real Housewives.
Yeah.
To have to beg for a car. Love & Hip Hop got nice trailers. They had to fight for trailers, cars, food, regular things.
Regular stuff.
For a big production like this is insane.
Yeah. Especially with the driving too, because they work long hours on set. Like there's no way they should, that's like not safe at all.
No.
For those crazy hours.
And you're not protecting the talent.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. It's weird that they even had to request those things, but it just goes to show how far we have not come.
Yeah, that's the sad part.
Yeah. So what's your prediction for it? Do you think it's going to go anywhere? Do you think we're going to make any strides this year? One more question with that. Okay, with that, but also we seen how Vivica Fox came on and said,
that
ain't her problem. She ain't ever had that type of issues.
She a lie. She a whole
okay, lie. She might, but she might not have had those type of issues, but her productions aren't as grand.
Okay, yeah. That's the main point. That's the main point. Her productions are not on the level of what a Taraji P. Henson is doing. So maybe she doesn't have those problems because actually, yeah, maybe she don't, because what she's doing, she's getting paid what people normally get paid to do that.
Right.
But when we're talking about Taraji P. Henson in these huge movies, huge roles where people should be getting paid way up there. She can't, maybe she can't,
She can't relate. You know, they were saying, but some people were saying she's not speaking up on it because she's not trying to mess up her lifetime check.
I didn't even know she had a lifetime check.
She be in the Lifetime movies. She be on Tubi too. Have you ever watched Tubi movies?
No, but one day I would love to be in a Lifetime movie.
I could definitely see you in a one of those Lifetime Christmas movies.
Yes. If anybody knows how to apply, because I just want to be the person that's like
working in the coffee shop.
I want to be in the big town. I want to be in the big town. And they were like, I have to go back to my small town.
Yeah.
Because my grandfather, he said, I have
something
to go.
Something in his will.
Yeah, he's something in his will. And I have to go. And then I go down there. And then the person like that drives me down there, I'm like, this truck is horrible. What is going on? I just want to be that person. And then I want to be like, they want to be like, we're going to lose the inn. And I'm going to be like, oh, my 401k. Maybe I should just pull the money out.
So if anybody is watching this that got a plug with Lifetime, listen, your girl
I would love that. Would be oh my goodness.
Look at this face. She's perfect. You would eat it up.
I would eat it up.
I am crying. That is so funny. Yeah, I think you would actually do well.
Well, thank you.
Yeah. But I do hope that there is a change within this industry and that we can see some growth, because it's just really unfair, especially when the movies do the numbers that they do.
Yeah.
It's like, pay the people what they're worth.
Pay the people.
And, you know, it just sucks because you have to go back in time and change contracts, change the way things are operated. They've been operating the same way for 100 years. And so I think it's going to take some really hard work, and it's going to take some allies. It's going to take some people that are in there to really go in and say, hey, this is not fair either. And even those that don't look like us, you know, like they're going to have to go in and step up and like make some changes too, because they can't do it alone, because they hear them. They know.
Yeah.
They know it ain't right. And they just don't care.
Exactly.
But it's interesting. I wonder how much Tyler Perry be paying, because my thing is like, why not go under his productions for some of these movies? I don't know. Like, I don't know the politics.
I don't know, but it does seem like his top role people do get paid well, because I follow some of the people that have major roles over there, and they do seem like
they're doing pretty good.
Yeah, they seem like they're doing pretty good. Yeah. So maybe we'll see. No.
But so our final topic.
Final, because it's 2024 and we need to, we're going to end this right. Okay.
Yeah.
Lori Harvey.
Who's she gonna date this year?
We need this prediction, okay? I'm gonna jump out and say something.
Okay.
I don't know if she's gonna do this, but if I was her, you need to run that Michael B. Jordan back up.
Oh, I don't know if they would run it back. I feel like he's so hurt. I don't know if he would run it back.
That's why you need to run it back.
She's I don't know. I kind of liked her with the Idris guy. Is his name Idris?
I didn't like that at all.
I did like Michael over him with her.
It was so grand.
But I feel like I don't know if he would.
Oh.
I think she might be open to it, but I don't know if he would, because I think he was really hurt.
Question. If not Michael B. Jordan, Drake?
I hope she don't do Drake. Ugh, I don't want to see that. Ugh, I think she could do better than Drake. But I don't know who.
A 21 Savage?
I don't know. I think I like her better with actors.
Okay. Okay.
I feel like with the actors, the relationships seem more genuine.
But they could be acting. I don't know.
That's true.
And not Jonathan Majors, I know that.
Oh, Lord, no. But help him, Jesus.
Coretta.
Lord. Oh, God. Lord, help
us. Lord, help us. But, okay. But, Lori, I kind of hope she runs back the Michael B. Jordan. I saw Michael B. Jordan and Steve run into each other in Dubai. I don't know.
Maybe we'll see a fresh face.
Maybe she'll be with Teyana Taylor.
I have one more thing. This is not really a prediction, but we've never talked about this. Oh, how do you feel about Kylie being with that guy? I don't even know his name.
Timothy, yeah.
Do you think this is a part? Because we talked about this, I believe, about Kylie changing her image.
Yeah,
and wanting to be more Caucasian. Classic and Caucasian. Do you think she got with this guy because he fits more with her new image?
Yes.
Yeah,
100%. 100%.
He goes with the aesthetic.
The aesthetic. And that's so sad that everything about their life is aesthetic.
Everything.
Everything is aesthetic. I was talking to a friend yesterday. Oh, I can't share too much of that. But we were talking about how everyone in their circle that starts to work for them starts to look like them.
Oh, yeah.
It's like everybody becomes part of the aesthetic.
Even the friends. They can't shake it. Like,
they can't shake it. Everybody.
Larsa Pippen, she's still gives off that Kardashian aesthetic. Like, yeah, she can't, like, I mean, not all the way, she's kind of tacky now, but
yeah, it's just
the way aesthetic. She kind of like moves and acts, yeah,
the way they talk, it's weird,
it's very strange, it's very strange. Maybe they tell them they have to talk like that.
No, I feel like you get around their energy and it's so strong that
you can't help it.
People just like, well, I really like the way her hair looks like that. I really, really like her eyes look like that. I really like the lip gloss she's using. I really like that leather outfit.
I can't lie, like Kim K, when I wear my hair, it's always giving, I always have to get Kim K curls.
Yeah.
The middle part with the volume on the bang.
Yeah.
Forever.
Yeah.
She did that.
She did do that.
But anyway, we hope you guys enjoyed our 100th episode. Yes. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you made it this far in the podcast, girl, make sure you go ahead and leave us a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts. Leave us a rating. I think you can not leave a review, but leave us a rating on Spotify. If you are watching this on YouTube, make sure you guys go ahead and subscribe. We would love to have you join the family over here. And we are looking forward to creating some amazing content in 2024.
Yes.
So yes, thank you guys so much for listening and for watching. And we will catch you guys next time.
Bye.
Bye.